On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Today, the NHL fed us a 2 p.m. weekday Leaf game because they said it marked the 100th anniversary of the Leafs' first ever game. But it didn't. How's it going, everybody? Hope you're enjoying this final week before your presumed Christmas break. I guess that's being, well, presumptuous. This is Unforced Errors number 63. My name's Matt Robinson. Thanks for joining us here on the Tall Can Audio Network. Always appreciate you tuning into the show. If you want to give some feedback, if you want to get involved, you want to tell us what you think, absolutely do so at Tall Can Audio on Twitter. Or give us a like over at facebook.com/tallcanaudio and send your hate mail there. Support the show at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. So, I think we'll talk a little bit about this next century game that the Toronto Maple Leafs and Carolina Hurricanes took part in today. Started at 2 o'clock on December 19th. That's a Tuesday afternoon. Lots to get to on that. I don't know what this was. The NHL was clearly trying to present it as some kind of big anniversary, kicking off the second 100 years of the league and of the team. They were doing all the things that they typically do leading up to a big event. And then there was really nothing at all about it that felt like a big event. Let's start with the timing. For a year now, since the schedule has come out, and this particular date was announced before the schedule itself came out in July. So for the last, maybe it's been just shy of a year, but it's been almost a year, Maple Leaf fans have known that they were getting this weird 2 p.m. game on a Tuesday. It's been a very long time since the Leafs have played any kind of home afternoon game. Forget weekday. Even on Saturdays and Sundays, they don't do it. On Saturdays, they are almost always the 7 p.m. game on Hockey Night in Canada, and the rest of the country jumps up and yelling, "What am I doing? Yes!" and fails to understand the idea of ratings and advertising and things like that, and that the Winnipeg Jets draw nothing in comparison to the Toronto Maple Leafs in terms of ratings. So, Leafs, 7 p.m. on Saturdays. When you play almost every Saturday night at 7 o'clock, you are unlikely to be interested in an afternoon Sunday game. If you have to play back-to-back at home, again, exceedingly rare that the Leafs play on a Sunday, certainly at home, you're not going to do it in the afternoon because you just played Saturday night. So, and then, you know, most of the time, there would be no reason for the Leafs to play an afternoon game at home during the week. They have played some American Thanksgiving games on the road. I can remember at one point years ago them playing a couple years in a row in Philadelphia, sometime in November. I can't remember what the Americans call Remembrance Day. It's Veterans Day or something like that. And the Leafs played a couple of Friday afternoon games on those occasions down in Philadelphia or St. Louis, New York, places like that, but never at home in the afternoon. So this was weird. And the league said this is to mark the 100th anniversary exactly to the time that the Toronto Arenas, at the time the name of this franchise, played their first ever game in the National Hockey League. And everyone went, all right, I guess that makes sense. Until people started to do some digging. You would think the league itself might have done some digging because you wouldn't want to be embarrassed, but being embarrassed is something that Gary's NHL, I guess, should be used to by now. The first ever Toronto Arenas game was played on December 19th, 1917, in Montreal against the Wanderers at 8:15 p.m. Anything? Anything at all, Gary? All right. So that comes out in the last several weeks as more and more people start digging and going, this is weird and it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. Let's go and look into this. And so they start digging through old Montreal newspapers. And, you know, it can be difficult sometimes to find headlines and news stories and certainly start times from 1917. So I understand that. But as people started to do this digging, they found countless different advertisements and things like that from the Montreal papers from December of 2017 advertising this game at 8:15 p.m. There was also another game being contested between the Montreal Canadiens and the Ottawa. They might have been the Senators at this time. I can't remember. It was a previous incarnation of this Ottawa franchise. They were going to play at 8:30 p.m. This game was to be at 8:15 p.m. in Montreal. So, as that came out, as it started to look worse and worse, as people started asking the league more and more questions, hey, how come, you know, individual reporters and journalists and whatever are able to find out what actually happened and you in the league office are not, they, of course, instead of just going, yeah, sorry, we messed up or we had mixed information or we didn't have as good information, instead of just falling on your sword and going, whatever, they pivoted. Well, the idea was always that if we do it at 2 p.m., we can have more kids in the building. And you see, this is the next century game. And that they had been billing it as that. This would be the first game of the next century of the National Hockey League and of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And in theory, that's fine. And in theory, if you had sold it as that from the beginning, everyone would have went, all right, I guess I get it. And maybe we can get some school kids in here and some bus trips and whatever else might be going on. But that's not what happened. And to watch them and Sportsnet, who's in their back pocket now as their national rights holder, try to pivot all day and pretend that this was always the idea was pitiful and pathetic. And so, NHL, it's painful. Man, as we move more and more forward here, I love hockey, but I hate the NHL. This is peak Gary NHL. You fucked up. And then you pivoted and tried to pretend that the rest of us were stupid and this was always your plan. It wasn't. This was not the plan. You thought 2 p.m. marked the game. And even on the Sportsnet broadcast today, they still were split on what this was supposed to be. I love Paul Romanek as a broadcaster, and there's a bunch of people out there online and on Twitter that don't like him. And really, it's just them still pissing their pants about Joe Bowen being taken away from them. And I love Joe. And I wish he was still on television, but to blame Paul Romanek for that is ridiculous. Sportsnet and TSN made a decision that Joe Bowen was no longer going to be the television voice of the Maple Leafs. They moved him permanently to radio. I didn't like it. You didn't like it. Get over it. It's been 3 years. It's not Paul Romanek's fault. And frankly, he's doing a good job. But today, as they're feeding him his lines, as they're handing him his liners, the things he's supposed to say, it's still got half and half. They're still trying to sell during the broadcast that the first ever Toronto Arenas game was played 100 years ago at 2 p.m. at the Mutual Street Arena. All of that is wrong. It was played in Montreal at 8:15 p.m. Period. So I don't know what this was. I really don't. I don't think the league does. And like I said, it would have made a lot more sense if they had just fallen on their sword and went, you know what, the reporting is sketchy from back then, which it is, and just lived with it and said, you know what, we thought it was this, it turned out not to be, and we're going to engage and embrace this as an opportunity to get kids into the building. Because this whole thing, they pivoted and said, was about the next 100 years. So, okay, we want more kids in the building. Okay. How does 2 p.m. do that? Aren't kids in school on Tuesday at a 2 p.m.? At a 2 p.m. You know, I'm stumbling over my own tongue now here a little bit. At 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, aren't most kids in school? Yeah. Yeah, they are. They said over and over and over, like I said, Paul Romanuk, the poor guy, is being split by the league and Sportsnet and being told what to say. Half of it's about the fact that this is when the game was apparently played at Mutual Street Arena, and half of it's about kids. They're being said, we're expecting like 4,000 kids in the building. I've been to a couple of dozen Leaf games, and I didn't count. I don't know what the number is. But there's at least 2,000 or 3,000 kids in the building at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. There's a lot. I don't know what the exact number is, and I understand why it's not higher. Partly because as a father, take a kid to a Leaf game, and you're talking, I don't know, $150, $200, $250 ticket. It's a lot. It's hard to do. Where maybe it's easier if you can pay for half of that and your buddy can pay for the other ticket and you go down and check out a game with him rather than eating the entire cost yourself. And then you're talking about, I don't know, the GO train or transit or parking and hot dogs and pop and whatever else you're going to do. It's a lot of money to take kids to. I didn't get the sense from the camera shots around the arena, even though they were intentionally zooming in on kids. I didn't get the sense from the sound of the crowd, which is always much, much, much more high pitch when there's a ton of kids in the building, that there was more kids in the building today than on a normal day. And I didn't get the sense when I was at games and walking around that there was any less than a couple thousand kids in the building. So again, I think this is a narrative that Sportsnet tried really hard to shove down your throat and it just really didn't exist. In theory, it makes sense. This is about the next 100 years. This is the next century game. So it's supposed to be kids and not, you know, adults. But really, I just think it was something that they tried too hard to tell a story on. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like I said, kids are in school at this time. There's always kids in the building, no matter what time you play the games at. This was just one of those things that the NHL and Sportsnet tried to sell as the truth that really was kind of a last second pivot. Before we actually get into, you know, the ceremony and the event itself, another thing that was kind of confusing or misleading, if you're going to spend this much time building this up as a big event and then broadcast it as a regional game, you're cutting a lot of people out. I, as most of you know, reside in Ottawa. I've been a lifelong Leaf fan. And so in order to watch Leaf games, I have to buy their whatever the fuck they call it this year. Sometimes it's Center Ice. Sometimes it's Game Center Live. Now it's NHL Live, I guess. I don't know. You know, there's a whole lot of little brother syndrome that goes on around here in terms of the Ottawa Senators fan base and organization and the NHL not wanting Leaf fans and Habs fans to be able to watch their teams here. And I guess for people who can't afford this type of service, to have to involuntarily become Senators fans. And it's a bullshit way to broadcast the games. Imagine looking around the NFL and the way they do things and that every game is broadcast nationally to anyone who wants to see it and then thinking that this is the right way for the NHL to work. But that's Gary's world. That's the little brother complex that is the Ottawa Senators. So I have to pay $150, $200 a year, whatever it's going to be, to watch my team here in Ottawa. So I have to do that, and that's where most Leaf games end up, except for the Saturday night games, which are national games, and they're available to anyone, okay? So if this is a big event, in theory, it should be on the main Sportsnet network, or it should be on TSN or on CBC. But no, it's not. They try and sell it to Leaf fans so that they'll pay more and buy this third jersey and all this other stuff, but in theory, it's still just a Sportsnet Ontario regional game. So your ratings are also going to take a hit. This is just one of those things that they try and tell you that this is something special, but then actually don't do anything with it that makes it seem any kind of special. Same when we actually get to the game. The jerseys, when I saw the pictures of them, they're wearing the old Toronto Arena's jerseys. And when I saw the pictures online, I thought, they're all right. You know, I didn't mind them. But there was nothing really special about them that jumped up to me or jumped out to me. When I saw them today in the game, they looked sharp, right? I was much more impressed when you see them in action, right? When you see them out there flying around, they were sharp looking jerseys. I thought that was kind of cool. But that was really the only thing about this that seemed special at all. They can tell you that this was the anniversary of the first game. It wasn't. They can tell you that there were more kids in the building today. There weren't. You know, all these sorts of things. But the uniform was kind of cool. And to be honest with you, if they would sell that type of that look as a hoodie, I'd probably buy it. I don't know if I'm going to run out. I can tell you I'm not. I'm not going to go out and buy that jersey. But if they put that type of style on a hoodie, I'd probably buy that. I think it would have been, I think it's pretty cool looking. And I actually went and looked, and I went to see if they're selling anything else with this Toronto Arena's look to it in terms of t-shirts or hoodies or whatever. And I couldn't find much, but I didn't look too hard. So maybe there is, but you know, I thought that was pretty cool looking. But when we got to the actual pregame ceremony, it was nothing. They did like this very short slideshow that I guess you probably could have made on your Mac, right? And that iPhoto or iMovie or whatever it's called, with some current song that's not even any good, that Hey Brother by whoever the fuck it's by. You all know the song. You would know it in a second if you heard it. And it had some old pictures to it or whatever. And then they brought some kids out to skate around in Leaf jerseys, which, again, I guess if you're looking at the next 100 years or the next century, I see what you're going for. But there was not a legend to be seen. No Wendell Clark, no Daryl Sittler, no Felix Potvin, Curtis Joseph, no George Armstrong or Lanny McDonald. And so again, I guess in theory, if this is supposed to be about turning the page and be the next 100 years, I guess you wouldn't have the old guys there. But there was just nothing to it. Like, if you're going to spend all this time and money trying to tell people that this game is special and then scheduling it at a special time, make it special. And there was just nothing. Like, to me, there was just nothing to this. This was all NHL spin. This was all. And I wondered going into the Centennial Classic on New Year's Day last year, which I went to, I wondered if it was going to be similar to that. And it just wasn't. And I wondered before that game happened if it would be worthwhile. But I ended up getting tickets to it. And I went with a couple of people and we had an awesome time. And I'm really glad we went. But you can't get sucked into this NHL promotional thing that you're not a real fan unless you do this or buy this, or, you know, the Leafs are this historic thing and they are, but a lot of this is lip service. Years ago when Brian Burke was still running the team, and for a year or two afterwards, everyone knew the Centennial was coming up. And Brian Burke said, for our centennial, very similar to what Montreal asked for and got, we want the Winter Classic, we want the All-Star Game, and we want the draft. And they got none of those. Now, the Centennial Classic was something that they pulled out of their ass and then went and put an outdoor game in St. Louis or Chicago or wherever it was, and it sucked, it rained, and it was delayed, and it was whatever. The game in Toronto ended up being much better, but it was invented out of nothing just to try and sell more tickets at higher prices to Leaf fans, because the NHL still treats Toronto like their ATM. But it turned out to be fun when we were there. But they gave the draft to someone else. They gave the All-Star Game to someone else. They gave the Winter Classic to someone else. So that's about what the NHL is willing to give Toronto at this point, until they need some more money, and then you turn around and you create this game in December, and again, you tell everybody it's a big deal, and then you do nothing to present it as a big deal other than put some cool new sweaters on the guys. So, I don't know what this was, a promotional thing gone wrong, an anniversary party where you had the date and time wrong. To me, this couldn't scream NHL anymore. Like, this is so NHL. And it's pathetic. I'm sorry, it is. It's just, it's pitiful. The game itself, Leafs came out flying, end up winning the thing 8-1. We're not going to spend a ton of time talking about it and dissecting it, but Nylander and Marner and Bozak all score. Those guys all needed it. All of them slumping in different ways. Marner had a four-point game, which was fantastic. The Nylander goal, if you didn't see it, find it on online. The shot was unreal. Like, he just ripped it high glove. Scott Darling brought into Carolina to be the savior, to be the new number one goalie. Another one of these that Rob and I talk about all the time over on Tall Can Sports, which backups, right, could be ready to make the move and become top-end starters. And it fails a lot. Like, just here in Toronto, you can talk about Toskala and Bernier and, you know, guys that were brought in as the best backups in the NHL that weren't ready to be starters. Edmonton is running through it a little bit right now with Cam Talbot, who was absolutely fantastic last year, has struggled mightily this year, and then battled a bit of injury. We'll see what he can do down the second half, and if he's going to be back to what he was last year, they might be able to put together a bit of a run and take a shot at getting back into the playoff race. If he's going to be what he was for the first half of this season, they got no shot, right? But he was kind of the next of those guys that backed up Lundqvist for a long time and you take a shot on. He's been more successful than the names I mentioned here in Toronto, but it's always a risk. Right, there's always Martin Jones in L.A. Was backing up Jonathan Quick, and they had a bit of a logjam at a time. Ben Scrivens was there, and they weren't sure what he was going to be. And Martin Jones, I guess he got traded, I believe, if I have the chronology correct here, to Boston. And then like a day later, Boston trades him back to San Jose, and L.A. is going, oh, fuck. Like, they would have never traded him in the division, but they traded him to Boston, and then Boston sent him back into the division. So that's not how they saw that going at all. But that's sort of what Scott Darling was supposed to be. He'd had a couple good years in Chicago backing up Corey Crawford, and it was, let's take a shot and see if he's going to be the guy, and he just hasn't. And man, in the first period, he was terrible. I'll give him a pass on the third goal, the power play goal, where he robs Bozak and Marner, and then kind of it's a bad bounce, and JVR is able to knock in the rebound. I'm going to give him a pass on that. There's nothing he can do. But there was some weak stuff. Just some weak stuff where he's out of position all over the place. And they left him in for all eight. And it was pretty clear at the end of the first when he came back out to start the second and having already given up four that they were going to leave him in almost no matter what happened. And in the second period, it was kind of a track meet. They went back and forth, both teams, but nobody scored. And so it was still 4-1 going into the third. And then the Leafs just kind of ran up the score on them a bit. And it didn't really matter anymore. But when you leave your guy in there for eight, I'm not sure they're convinced he's their guy. You know, I don't think anybody believes Cam Ward is still what he once was or what people thought he was going to be. But I don't think they're married to Scott Darling at this point, at least not what we saw today. But I mean, in the first, it was a nightmare. Both teams taking penalties and their sloppy play defensively, and I don't know, the 2 p.m. start means much because there are lots of teams, and the Leafs amongst them, on the road at least, that do play afternoon games across the league on the weekend. So I don't know how much you blame on the 2 p.m. start, but it was sloppy as shit. Like, it just was not a good-looking hockey game. Second period, things settled down. Freddie Anderson, for the most part, was pretty good. The Skinner goal wasn't great, but at the end of the day, it didn't fucking matter at all with an 8-1 score, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about the game itself, but I just thought in terms of what this event was supposed to be, it left something lacking. I don't know what this was going to be. I don't know what the NHL was going for, but it was lost on me. Whatever they were shooting for was lost on me. This just seems like another one of those things where Toronto was kind of treated as an NHL 18. Like, honestly, even just look at the opponent. If you want to sell this as a big deal, if you want to sell this as an anniversary of the start of the league and the start of the franchise, can we have Montreal or Chicago or Boston or New York? Like, someone who was around back then? Even Ottawa. Ottawa disappeared for like 80 fucking years, and their fans still pretend those Stanley Cups are attributed to this current version of the franchise. At least give us that. That's a rival. That's a team that that Leaf fans would care about playing. It would mean something. Can we have Calgary or Edmonton? Give us another Canadian team. Like if you want to make this something, give Leaf fans a reason to give a shit and spend the hundreds and thousands of dollars that you're going to ask them for. Now, here's Carolina on a Tuesday afternoon. Honestly, like, just stupid. Just on it. And no other fan base in Toronto would put up with this. Like, here's the Tampa Bay Rays on Canada Day to face the Jays. Well, fuck you, right? Like, there'll be 24,000 people in the building and everybody else will be off celebrating the way they want to. Because the Leafs are what they are, that game was going to be sold out either way. And the NHL knew it, and the team knew it, and they went along. And, you know, it had nothing to do with the event. It was just, you know, Carolina would have been in here at 7 p.m. on December 19th, and they went, well, because we're trying to make this something special, we'll move it up to 2 p.m. And then it turns out they got that part wrong, and so then the whole thing was just fucked. But if you really wanted to do something about this, Carolina was not the opponent. I can think of 11 other teams, counting any Canadian team, any Original Six team, even the Flyers or Penguins or something, right, that with some cachet. This was a throwaway game played at a weird time for no reason. So I've been pretty much ranting on that point the entire time, and we're going to leave it there. Our last talk in sports was pretty good. We talked about, I believe it was 191, Hit the Crab, I believe we titled it, if I've got the number wrong. Talked about Eugene Melnyk here in Ottawa throwing his entire fan base under the bus. You can check that out. We have a new audio Whiplash coming tomorrow with Jillian McSween. That's going to be awesome. I got some cool stuff lined up to talk about with her. And, of course, over the holidays, our usual bevy of holiday shows. A lot of podcasters disappear throughout the holidays. They got nothing for you. Your feed dries up. That will not be us. We have some great shit coming for you. We will not give up on you. We have content for you. Christmas Eve, our annual World Junior extravaganza, we will talk about the World Juniors at length and put that out for you. We will also have our audio Whiplash year in review. That also coming up over the holiday season. And of course, Talk Hand Sports. We normally do kind of stories that we didn't cover enough, we didn't give enough attention to, and that will also come out over the holidays. So lots of great stuff coming up here for you on the network throughout the holidays, and as we get closer to it, hope you'll stick around. Like I said, that audio Whiplash with Jill McSween will come out on Wednesday, sometime in the evening, so stick around and check that out. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. There's always a link to that in the show notes at tallcanaudio.com or on your podcast app. You can interact with us at tallcanaudio on Twitter or facebook.com/tallcanaudio, where while you're doing so, why don't you hit that like button? Help us out a little bit. In the meantime, my name's Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors number 63 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. It's been a pleasure talking with you. We will see you on the next show.
Empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.